Excellent Movie Adventures.
Welcome to another episode of Excellent Movie Adventures with your host, me, and across from me, Zachariathy.
Hola.
Also, I'm Pick.
I was wondering if you can introduce yourself.
Yeah, I forgot. We got another episode, sans Thomas.
No Thomas.
So,
and as you remember from last episode, I'm not pardoning him on this one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No pardon for this episode. Just the last one. That's all a baby gets you is one free week.
Yep. He gets nothing this week.
What would they call that? Is it paternity leave?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, nope. Paternity.
Here at Excellent Movie Adventures, you get one
you
week
only get one paternity week paternity leave.
That's pretty good.
That's all I got with one of my previous jobs. No, I got 2 weeks. Mm. I ain't giving him 2 weeks. Although he got it, I ain't giving it to him.
He gets to take it, but we get to give him crap about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's not free. He's not getting paid anyway.
That's true. Oh, man.
So did you watch anything good this week?
I watched WandaVision.
Oh, okay. The third episode 3 came out.
Yep.
This week.
And I'm caught up on all 3.
Oh, okay. So what did you think about it?
I really like it.
Yeah.
I'm confused, but I really like it.
Yeah, there's something weird going on. Like, I can't tell if, like, it's an evil movie studio or what. And, the most recent trailer for upcoming episodes makes it seem like they're going to be, like, full-on superhero and out.
You know
what I mean? Which, I don't know. It's weird. It also has not at all explained, like, the jump in, like, decades. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Every episode's a new decade.
Yeah.
60s and then 70s and then 80s. So I would assume episode 4 would be somewhere in the 90s.
Well, did we hit 80s? I thought we were in the 70s still because she has like the really long hair.
Oh, that's right. So was it 50s, 60s, and then 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so anyway.
That sounds about right. Yeah, because this one, last one, it reminded me of the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
In the 70s. The 70s.
Yeah. So next we'll have the 80s.
Yeah.
What's an iconic 80s television show? It's going to look like.
What is an iconic 80s television show? I was going to say Family Matters, but that's 90s. I don't know.
For some reason, I want to think like one of those shows where like the car talks or something. You know? Like, I don't know. Miami Vice or something. That doesn't have a talking car, but.
Trying to think, what's the one with the talking car? '80s. Yeah, Miami Vice is 80s.
Yeah, I believe it had David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, it was Hasselhoff.
Yeah, and he had that car that talked.
Kit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the name of the show.
I can't remember the name of the show either. But I almost, would it be like that, or would it have to be a sitcom?
Well, that was, would it have to be a sitcom, though?
I would think so.
I guess the other two were sitcoms, huh?
Yeah.
Or the other three episodes.
Yeah, because it was, what was it? It was...
So, like, Charles in Charge or something?
Ooh, okay. That was a good 80s one. I like Charles in Charge.
Doogie Howser, is that 80s or that 70s?
Oh, that was 80s. Doogie Howser, Punky Brewster.
I don't know.
Yeah, because what? 60s, you had I Dream a Genie.
Bewitched.
And then Bewitched.
Well, that was, like, the first episode, though. Was like, I Love Lucy, I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched.
Well, Bewitched was the second one.
Okay.
If you remember, because she's flying on the broomstick and everything during the opening credits.
Okay.
But I think the first one was I Dream of Jeannie and I Love Lucy and stuff. And then the third one was the Brady Bunch feel to it.
I still can't, like, decide sometimes at the beginning of the episodes if I want to watch it or not. Because they really pour on the cheese. And it makes it like, I get what they're going for. It's like a throwback to that style of writing and, you know, these funny little wholesome jokes and stuff. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's pretty bad, man. Like, it's like they poured the cheese on too much. You know what I mean?
They do. Like the first episode where the plate hits the head and shatters.
Yeah.
My husband and his hard head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's my wife and her flying saucers. My husband and his indestructible
head.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
It's like, What?
Yeah.
You couldn't write something better than that? Like, the flying saucer one, that's creative.
Yeah.
But, like, the indestructible head one, I just, I don't know.
Just throw back to those episodes. How the 50s and 60s
was. She definitely
was.
Doesn't seem as clever as Vision. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true.
I don't know.
It's true.
And then she can just, like, rewind time, mm-hmm. you know, like, inexplicably.
That's what makes me believe, and I don't know if it, so lost at what's going on, but that what's makes me kind of believe that all this is going on in her head,
mm-hmm.
or that she's created this alternate reality inside, because, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the third one yet, you find out that she's in, they're in some kind of compound, a wall or whatever. Because that lady gets thrown out, and then you noticed a bunch of fencing and walls up. And so I don't know if she's trapped herself in there and made an alternate reality for herself with Vision alive.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it all takes place after the events of Endgame.
Also, the math for the pregnancy doesn't make any sense. Because, like, they go from 0 to 6 months in a day, mm-hmm. and then he's like, oh, you'll finish out your third trimester 3 days from now. And it's like, uh-huh. dude, you just did half. More than half. You did 2/3 in a day. You think it's going to take 3 days to get through the last third?
Yeah.
What a dummy. I thought he was supposed to be a living computer. Like, even I could figure that out just sitting there.
Didn't it end up being the same day that she had the kids?
I think so. Wasn't yeah, it? I felt like, I dozed yeah. off, so I don't know how it ended.
Oh.
But,
oh, you need to finish it then.
Yeah, it was late. I will finish it because I plan on watching the next episode.
But, spoiled it for you, but
I'm not worried about it.
That's how I've noticed. That's the one thing that keeps me going with these stuff is just that last 5 minutes of every episode.
Yeah.
It hits you. Makes you want more.
Well, they need to spread out some of that substance through the earlier parts of the episode and keep people like me awake.
I
do.
I fell asleep too, actually. Me and Kara started it, Saturday night? And usually I have to finish it the next morning because I fall asleep. But I watched that, and I watched Two Guns.
Oh, okay.
Denzel and Mark.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah. I own it, but I've only ever seen it once.
That's how I was.
I'm pretty sure I saw it in theaters, so I've never seen it. I just own it somehow. Like, I bought it and then didn't watch it.
See, I never saw it in theaters.
I remember it being all right. I mean, I obviously bought it, so.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, on Friday at work, one of my coworkers was quoting it.
Hmm.
And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, you've never seen Two Guns? And I was like, yeah. And he was just like, it was like one of those quotes. And he's like, dude, if you've seen the movie, you should know the quote. And I was like, man, I don't remember anything from that movie. Yeah, but that's kind of an obscure,
like, it's not like people are walking around. It's not like Two Guns is like an important piece of like our modern.
It's true.
Like social media. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Star Wars or like Lord of the Rings people don't, you know, it's not
just don't walk
the Dukes of Hazzard. Like, it's not part of like our social structure, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a movie that exists and it's pretty good and people like it, but it's not like, it's not like everybody's walking around dropping quotes from this film. You know what I mean?
It's true.
It didn't have that large of an impact. He's dropping obscure references and he's like, oh, you haven't seen this movie that probably most people haven't seen? I bet you it didn't even do that well.
I don't know. I'm curious now. Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't even look it up. Usually when I watch a movie, I always...
Because, like, I vaguely remember seeing that film. And I don't feel like a movie theater was packed or anything.
61 mil, it doubled its money.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's not like a blockbuster. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a huge film.
There was rumor. I mean, it was, I guess, good enough. There was rumors at one point of a sequel, but they never did go through with it.
Frequently asked questions. When exactly are the scenes of nudity and what are the timestamps for those scenes? That's a frequently asked question for this film, apparently.
Really?
Question number two, what is Two Guns about? And question number three, is Two Guns based on a comic book? The number one most frequently asked question about this movie is about the nudity.
Oh, that's hilarious. which it's like a blip, if I remember it. Yeah.
I don't remember it at all. So.
There's like none. It's just a like quick blip.
The only thing I even remember from that movie is when there's like some kind of fight in like these trenches in the dirt.
Yeah.
Which is probably towards the end of the film.
No.
No? It's earlier on?
It's about the middle.
All right. Well, anyway, that must be the most memorable part of the movie because that's like all I remember about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple,
like some,
but...
It has to do with, like, some military people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the about the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only 109 minutes. Not very long.
Yeah, no, it
an
wasn't.
Hour and a half.
Wasn't that long. But.
Taglines. Two guns, one bank.
I mean, they're not wrong. But, yeah, that's all I watched this week. I didn't get too much into anything.
Just for fun, I'm just going to read some quotes here, and you tell me if there was any of these were the ones that he said. All right, all right. On the count of three, we'll let each other go. All right. One, two, three. Now you're not making me not be able to trust you. Is that what he said?
Nope.
No. Nope?
Don't remember okay. that one.
Let me see here. I guess we could both talk to him like at the same time. What, like we're working together? No, not like we're working together. Yeah, no. Like we're working together? Like in the same vicinity together? No, more like the same area code. So together. The same county.
I didn't think it was that.
Like where do they pick these quotes from? Like that's so long. You're my people and we have a code. You fight for the guy that's fighting next to you.
See, it's funny. All these quotes, I can pinpoint exactly where they were in the movie.
They're torturing chickens, man. What is that you're eating? A chicken?
It's not the same thing.
So he's quoting something, and I read like the top four quotes.
Yep.
And it wasn't even one of those.
Don't believe so.
So he's got an obscure quote from an obscure film.
Uh-huh.
And he's walking around like, oh, you haven't seen that?
Uh-huh.
I hope he listens to our podcast and hears me making fun of him.
I'm going to tell him to.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to ask him now what that quote was. He said it, and I was like, I don't remember that at all. And made me really want to watch it. So ended up waking up early Saturday morning and thought, oh, I'm going to watch it.
Hmm.
So.
Well. You didn't make me want to watch it. Like when you first brought it up, I was like, man, it's been a long time since I've seen that. And we just went through all this spiel and I now don't want to watch it.
Oh man. It's good though. I mean, it's just classic Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
But I'm a Mark Wahlberg fan. If it's got him in it, I'm pretty apt to
really
go see it.
I think at one point in time, I was fairly pro Mark Wahlberg and I'm not like, anti Wahlberg, but right now I'm just like, if he's in something, I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
like he's not gonna make me see something or turn me away from it.
Yeah,
well, like a lot of actors, most actors, I guess.
Yeah,
but at one point I was like, oh, Mark Wahlberg's in that, maybe I'll check it out. Not right now. Shaking my head. Nope.
It makes sense. It's all right.
You know, he's no Adam Driver or Daniel Craig.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
This week, I watched that movie Bad Words today. I watched it this morning.
Ooh. I need to go back and watch that one because I really don't remember a lot from that movie.
That movie
I just
was
remember
really
it
good.
Being hilarious.
It was pretty dang funny.
Yeah.
Just the vitriol that he gets from like the parents. Man, it's rough, dude.
Right? And he just doesn't care.
Like, so just if you haven't seen this movie, basically it's a, oh man, what's his name?
Jason Bateman.
Bateman. He's a 40-year-old guy who enters into a spelling bee,
mm-hmm.
exploiting a bylaw because he didn't graduate the 8th grade before a certain date.
Uh-huh.
So he enters into the spelling bee against a bunch of kids, and he's like a walking thesaurus, essentially. He can spell anything. And or dictionary or whatever word you choose to use. Anyway, he can spell any word essentially. And he's just mopping the floor with these people at spelling bees and like pulling just these terrible pranks on people at spelling bees and stuff. Like,
doesn't he have one girl accidentally, like he fakes her period or whatever?
Yeah, she gets up and he like squirts ketchup onto the chair.
Yeah.
And so she sits in it without noticing. Yeah. And so she refuses to get up and go spell the word. So she gets disqualified because she's embarrassed to get up out of her chair. Yeah. He does a couple of things. Yeah. But anyway, there's like a kid who's there also. And like his dad is never around for whatever reason. So he's like in this hotel room by himself.
Yeah.
And they kind of become friends. But anyway, just the one of the funniest parts I thought, just off the top of my head, thinking back on it now, is they put him up in this hotel room when he drives in for the out-of-state spelling bee or whatever. And they try it. Everyone's trying to get him to quit and like just giving him hell about being in these competitions and winning all the time because all these parents are mad that their kids don't get a chance to win, you know?
Yeah.
And anyway, he shows up at this hotel and they've like they've made arrangements for his room already. And he gets there and it's basically the janitor's closet with a bed in it. And then he goes to change rooms because he doesn't want to sleep in there. And they're like, sorry, we're all booked up. And he's like, there's not even a bathroom in there. Like, where would you like me to put my pee and poop? And they're just like, sorry. So anyway, we move along. You know, there's some stuff that happens with the kid and the lady who's like writing the article about him and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's like leaving to go to the spelling bee the next morning. And he's like, hold on, I just got to drop this off real quick. And he's got this like shop, like a plastic shopping bag. And he just like drops it onto the desk at reception. And you just hear like this squishy thud sound because he's been pooping and peeing into that bag. And he just drops it off at the desk for them to take care of it because there's no toilet. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Oh, man. It's gross. I mean, you don't see it, you know.
But yeah.
It's, I don't know. That's...
I need to watch that one again.
Like, he just... He does not care what anyone thinks about him. Like, he's going to win the spelling bee, and that's just going to be the end of it.
Yeah, I need to go watch that one again.
But, yeah, I watched that, and I rewatched the movie Takers. Have you ever seen that?
Is that with Paul Walker?
Yeah. Idris Elba. The rapper T.I.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I...
Hayden Christensen. Yeah.
And remind me...
Another rapper. The guy who beat up Brianna. Chris Brown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's in it too.
Now remind me, didn't he do another movie around that same time called Running Scared?
I don't know.
Is that Paul Walker too?
I don't know. I'm not an expert on Paul Walker's cinematography because in general, I don't think he was a... Sorry, Fast fans, but you might be furious with me. I've never thought he was a very good actor, ever. Well, I've never thought that.
Should think that because it's Paul Walker. You can't speak ill of the dead now.
Sure you can. You could definitely speak ill of the dead. It's not like I'm saying anything disparaging. I'm just speaking the truth over here, man.
It's true. He wasn't the best. I really enjoyed him.
Like,
I love him personally in the Fast movies. Outside of that, I want to say he only did maybe, to me, he only did one or two maybe noteworthy movies.
So I'll say this. I started watching this film, and I remember Hayden Christensen's performance in it, and he's like barely in the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it was like something he did shortly after Star Wars. And so I was like kind of intrigued to see what he would do, you know? So I logged it away in like the annals of my brain somewhere. You know? And Idris Elba is in it. And so like Idris Elba is the highlight of this film, in my opinion. He's, you know,
he's the highlight of a lot of films.
Right. But I'm just saying like he is the character with the most depth. And you actually like see kind of part of his backstory,
okay,
which you don't get with a lot of the other characters. Zoe Saldana's in it too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love Zoe Saldana, man. And I think she is one of the best actresses.
Yeah.
Out there.
And Matt Dillon's in it too.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah. Matt Dillon. Yeah, right, he's one of the cops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I put it in and I'm like watching it. And then Paul Walker shows up on screen and I'm like, oh, Paul Walker's in this? Like, I have completely forgotten. Not only that, but I had picked up the case for this movie to get the discount and put it in my Xbox. And he's on the cover and I did not notice him. Yeah, that's how forgettable he is.
Not for me.
His character in this movie isn't even memorable. Like, he's supposed to be like one of the guys who helps run this gang of bank robbers, right?
Okay.
So like, he's one of like the top guys, but it's still like, it's like when they were writing this movie, there was one guy who ran the crew and that's Idris Elba's character, because you see his backstory. He gets more time on camera. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he is, if you have to name a main character of this band of thieves in this film, aside from the cop, cause you get to meet him decently, you know?
Yeah.
And you spend a lot of time with the cop. But like, if you have to name like another main character, it's Idris Elba. And then everything about Paul Walker's character is exactly the same as Idris Elba's character, just without any of the backstory in depth. So it's like, Idris Elba is the guy who like runs the show and he's wearing dope suits all the time. And then Paul Walker is just like kind of hanging out and he has lines and he's helping to run the show and he wears dope suits, but he doesn't do anything. He doesn't provide anything to the crew. Like, he does everything he does, somebody else could easily do.
Interesting. I might need to go watch like, this movie.
Yeah. I'm sorry if you're big Paul Walker fans. They should have just cut him out of the movie. It's like they cast him off of his Fast and Furious fame and they were like, "Oh, but he's got to be one of the big guns and one of the runners." Drop. So, we got to make him more important. So, make him one of the leaders of the crew. It's like they like just added more stuff to his character, which he was probably like a minor character before.
It looks like it came out right after Fast and Furious, which is number 4.
Okay.
When they just brought back the franchise. So it's just a box market draw. It might have even been one of those movies that was scrapped and shelved. Mm. And then Fast and Furious came out with all those guys. And they're like, oh, let's try it. It's probably just a box market draw.
Well.
But. See, that's, and like I said, he's got it's more of his early acting career, but I mean, if you remember him in, did you ever see Meet the Deedles?
No.
It was a Disney show back in the day. Anyways, Pleasantville.
I know that of that show, but I haven't seen that since I was like a kid.
Okay. He was in the Varsity Blues.
Yeah, I remember Varsity Blues.
She's All That. And then Skulls. Did you ever see Skulls?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Just a classic 90s movie. But that and Joyride, if you remember.
Classic. It's a 90s movie.
I liked it. I liked it. Look, watching it back now, it's probably like not a good movie. But it's more.
I guarantee you it's not a good movie. Yeah,
it's more. What do you call it? It's more. I liked it as a kid.
It's
so,
a 90s movie, bro.
Exactly. But that and Joyride. Did you ever see that one?
No.
That one was good. Him and Steve Zahn, where they have a trucker chasing them down.
You're not going to win me over, dude.
Oh, man.
You're like, I'm going to win you over with this guy who made his money, who made his mark in like movies about vehicles with another movie about a vehicle.
Yeah.
And he was good in that one, too.
They chase him down.
You know what I don't care about? Movies about people driving vehicles.
That one's a scary movie, though. It's a horror.
Whatever.
Suspense.
It's not good.
It is.
The first one. If it was, I would have seen it.
Joyride, like, 2 through 6 is not good.
6 of those?
Something like that. Oh, I haven't seen the other ones.
That's a ranch thing right there.
Ranch thing?
Yeah. Remember that? We were talking about that Netflix show, The Ranch. Oh, I was
yeah.
Like, why would they ever make more than one season of that? And you were like, there's like 8 seasons. Yeah. And I was like, what? That's my exact same reaction. Joyride, it's a good movie. No, it wasn't. Well, there's like 6 of them. What? Why would they make 6 of those?
I'm really curious, actually, how much there is. Okay, sorry. There's only 3. That's fine.
3 too many.
But still, it's 2 too many.
3 too many.
I like the first one.
Oh, man. So anyway.
Anyways, that's our Paul Walker talk, and that's probably the last time we'll have a Paul Walker talk.
Yeah. please let it be the last time we have to discuss Paul Walker on this podcast.
I don't know. We'll see. I might have a Fast and Furious stock on here.
Well, those are the two shows that I watched. Aside from that, I spent my weekend just playing a bunch of Call of Duty.
Nice. I wish.
Eating pizza and macaroni. A very cheesy weekend for me.
Yeah, I catching up on my TV shows. That's about all I did. So.
Yeah, I told you recently I went through like that stint where I was watching Survivor and stuff.
Yeah.
And like just a bunch of reality TV, really. And now like I could have watched another season because there's like a ton of them on Hulu. But I got to the end of that last one and I was just like, man, I need something new to watch. So like earlier before we had some people over, before that I was literally watching an old like Donald Duck Chip and Dale cartoon.
That is awesome.
It's one I legitimately remember from my childhood. Mm-hmm. Any show that I'm currently interested in, like WandaVision,
yeah,
I had to wait a week between episodes and I'm basically caught up. So it's like, I mean, I do have to go back and rewatch that one. But, you know, it's just, what else am I going to watch? You know what I mean?
It's true.
I don't know if I want to dive into another reality TV series season because, like, while those shows are kind of dumb entertainment, like, they are entertaining.
Yeah.
But I feel like it is dumb entertainment. Yeah. Like, at least when I'm watching a show that has a consistent narrative, like, I'm following a story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in this, it's just like you're just waiting for the next person to flip a vote and backstab somebody. You know what I mean? Like, and people do, like, wild stuff and, I don't know, it's just...
It's true. That's
I don't know why they. I think I said this last time. I don't know why they call it Survivor. They're like barely surviving. It's not part of the show.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure that they are out there. I mean, they're obviously out there having to fish and gut and cook the fish and like they're killing chickens and stuff. You know, like they're out there doing that stuff.
What I understand, but by it's the current
barely
seasons.
Part of the show.
Yeah, from the current seasons, it sounds it's more just a game show.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they still do that other stuff.
Yeah.
But they like show it in like a 10-second clip. Between games that they're playing, you know,
you gotta
like,
go jump off
today. This happened, you know,
yeah.
And that's like, I think it'd be funny to be like a contestant on that show because I think that thing that was a 10-second clip that's like your time out there, you know what I mean? Because like you're not playing a game all day, every day, you play a game like once every couple of days or every other day,
yeah.
So it's like you're legitimately out there, like having to find food and provide for your group of people.
And they're not showing that.
But they like barely show that because it's boring, you know? They show the drama and people like arguing. Well, I don't know.
Well, speaking of reality stuff, before we get into the movie, did you hear the big news with the WWE?
They're going to be, the WWE Network is going to be exclusively on Peacock. Is that what I'm talking about? So what is that? I just started reading about that right before you came over.
Yeah.
So are they going to be, like if you have Peacock downloaded, you just get the WWE Network?
Yep. So like,
so why would I pay $10 for it?
Well, that's the thing is, so WWE Network as of March 18th will no longer be.
Oh, okay.
That,
so they're just going to stop paying me.
That will be discontinued and broken, you know, gone. They'll delete it. All of their streaming, everything, whatnot, will be moved over to Peacock. And
for that's a very good idea.
Xfinity customers, like I have Xfinity. You have Xfinity, don't you?
No.
I thought you did. Anyways, yeah, for Xfinity customers, I get it for free. So I've got Peacock for free. So now I save myself $10
a month. Right, but Peacock is like a free service.
No. So they have three tiers. They have a free service. They have a $5 tier with ads or a $10 tier with no ads.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just switch over to that then.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can pay the $10 and have no ads, and you're just paying the same amount.
And you're getting way more content.
Yeah, you get way more.
Because now you're stuff plus everything they have.
Yeah, you're getting NBC Universal, which is basically The Office and...
Oh, yeah, I don't care about that.
All your other, you know, NBC shows type stuff. So it's more content for the same amount of money, or you can drop down to the $5 tier. You'll just have limited ads. But.
Weird.
So,
what a weird way to partner that. I wonder why they. I mean, I know that why they did it. Probably because
WWE Network sucks. I don't know about you.
Yeah. I mean, when it first came out, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
But you run out of stuff to watch because it's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, after a while, you're just waiting for the new stuff to come out. And there's only so much old stuff that you can bear to watch.
Well, and there's one or two times. So the pay-per-view starts at what, 6 o'clock? I've gotten on at like 8 to 8:30 at night. Won't let me watch it. Says it's not available right now. I'm like, okay. So I'll give it, you know, maybe 9:30 or something like that. Like this last time, I can't remember which one it was, but I went to start watching it. It was in Spanish. I couldn't change it over to English. Couldn't do nothing. So I had to give up on a Sunday night. I was like, okay, fine. I'll give up. Started it Monday afternoon. It was all good to go and ready and everything. But I've had so many issues with the network trying to stream pay-per-views. Like halfway through a show, it's like it won't let you for whatever reason.
Weird.
But, and I've tried switching from like my phone to my TV to PlayStation to Xbox, and it's just consistent problems.
I'm like kind of barely following it at this point. Yeah. Like I tune in and watch NXT.
Like it's what they get.
I'll watch this week's episode so I can see Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor tag team together.
Oh, I didn't know they were tagging.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're taking on the tag champs. So,
okay.
Those two bald dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those two guys that like, they're decent wrestlers, but they're like super forgettable. You never remember their names.
Yeah. And you, once they lose the titles, you won't remember their names.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, I can see why they've been pushing them for so long, but it's like they're lost causes, bro.
Yeah.
Which I hate to say that about someone's career, I guess, but I'm sorry, man. You got to be more memorable. You got to think of something. Change your gimmick up.
Going. And that's what WWE gets for using a MLB stream network or whatever. That's, if I remember right, that's where they got it from, was the MLB network. They got those. Whoever did that network came over and did the network for them. It's not good.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, hopefully it's more organized on Peacock and like easier to find stuff.
I hope so. I hope there's maybe a subcategory or something like that. But we'll see.
All right. Well, this week, I guess we should dive into this movie. We're clearing. Been sitting here for a while. Losing everybody who tuned in to listen to this,
right? Talk about this movie.
Oh man! All right. So this week we watched what I think is a great film.
Yes,
I absolutely love this movie. I talked
about it last week for a tidge.
Yeah, it's got massive rewatchability. Came out in 2017. Film called Logan Lucky.
Yes,
which is so good. The cast is amazing. Before I get into like the main cast, I just want to talk. Farrah McKenzie. So that's the girl who plays the daughter.
Okay. Yeah.
She is awesome in this.
Yes.
Like there's this scene in the film where, her dad takes her to the salon so she can get those hair extensions because she's in like the Miss Beauty contest or whatever, you know what I mean? And she's like, I thought you were going as Rihanna. What'd you need these extensions for? And he's like, I'm not going as Rihanna. I'm singing a song by Rihanna. And I'm competing in three categories. And for glitz, I need these extensions. And like, she has to turn. But like, the structure of the scene is as such that the camera's basically pointed like right at her face almost.
Yeah.
And pulled back so you can see the other two, Channing Tatum and...
it's his sister, isn't it?
Yeah.
Riley Koh.
Who?
Riley Koh? Kill? I don't know how you say that last name. Plays the sister.
Okay. Well, anyway. So that you can see them in the scene.
Her name's Melly.
Yeah. And she has to look past the camera like three separate times, like turning her head. Not once does... I mean, who knows how many takes it might have taken.
Yeah.
But the one that they got, like... You feel like she's actually, like, her entire performance, I feel like, is like this. You don't believe, you don't think for a second that she's just an actor. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's super believable as the little girl in this film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I completely agree, yeah.
Which just can't be said of all child actors, like the kids who play her brothers in the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're only on screen for one scene. but I'm pretty sure that kid is like looking right at the camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's difficult to get child actors to do the best, like but, to pretend like that.
Anyway, Farrah McKenzie was phenomenal in this as Sadie Logan. And the movie also stars Channing Tatum. He's our main character, plays Jimmy Logan. And you have Riley. Yeah. I don't know how to say her last name. Cuff.
Oh, there we go. That could.
Yeah, maybe it's Cuff as Melly Logan. Katie Holmes plays Bobby Joe, so she's Channing Tatum's ex-wife. Adam Driver and David Denman is in this. He plays Moody, and Seth MacFarlane is in this.
Seth MacFarlane, I love Seth MacFarlane.
And I thought Daniel Craig. Yeah, Daniel Craig, and then for some reason. Who plays the driver? Isn't that Sebastian Stan?
The driver?
Yeah, the guy who drives the race car.
I don't think it's Sebastian Stan.
For some reason, I thought that was him. I don't even remember the name of the...
Yeah, I guess I don't remember the name of him. Oh, no, it is Sebastian Stan.
Oh, it is him?
Yeah, Dayton White.
Dayton White.
That's wow, I didn't even recognize him. Holy crap.
Anyway, Sebastian Stan of Avengers fame is also in this movie.
Holy crap,
this movie has just a phenomenal cast. Like, it's so good. And people give Daniel Craig a lot of credit for that Knives Out Southern accent that he had. And
he's got a good accent in this one.
This movie, I feel like, puts that one to shame.
Yes.
Because that one, I love Daniel Craig, and I'm not... If you ever hear this, Dan, don't take this as a slight, because I loved Knives Out, and I think you were great in it. But that accent seems maybe a little more Foghorn Leghorn, like kind of thick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a good way, he was good in it. But in this one, it's like more subtle, and I believe... that he is that character again. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just so crazy to see him in this because you're used to seeing him as James Bond for the last 15 years or however long he's been
doing it. Yeah.
A long time.
He put out like what, 3 of them, I think?
By the time this one came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least 3.
Yeah.
The fourth one, I don't know if this came out before or after Spectre. When did Spectre come out?
I don't think Spectre came out yet.
Okay.
Well, I'll look it up. But
anyway, he looks nothing like James Bond in this film. You know, like...
Spectre did come out. Spectre came out in 2015.
Okay, so all 4 of his films had been out by then. Well, now he has a 5th one coming out. But so we had seen him as James Bond 4 times. He's done some other movies. Other movies where he's wearing suits, even.
Was Spectre the last James Bond movie?
Mm-hmm.
That was 2012?
Yeah. Because remember, he was...
Wow.
That movie was, like, delayed, and then they were going to put it on hold, and then they ended up putting it out. And he, like, didn't want to do the media tour for it and stuff.
Or I'm looking at Skyfall for 2012. 2015 was Spectre, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Still, 5 years ago. Wow. 6 years ago.
Anyway, that was going to maybe be his last one, and they were going to let him walk away from the franchise, but now he's... done another one, and this one's going to be the last one.
Yes.
Because it's his last contracted film, I believe.
Yes.
Anyways. Yeah, anyway, this movie is just phenomenal. The casting is so good. Daniel Craig plays this backwoods chemistry expert.
Yep.
Is that the best way to put it?
Bomb expert.
Yeah. Anyway, Channing Tatum and Adam Driver play brothers. They're Clyde and Jimmy Logan. And Channing Tatum is like this, you know, he was the star of high school. You know, he was the quarterback, star quarterback. He was going to go into the draft, be playing the NFL, be a real star. And he got hurt, tweaked his knee, and it upended his career. He didn't end up going to the NFL. And then his brother, he went into the military to... the way the other characters explain it when they're talking about it, it sounds like he went into the military to get some attention.
Yeah, make like a name to be out a of hero himself.
Because his brother was going to be a big deal, uh-huh. like a big shot, you know? And he was like, I'm going to be a hero or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And anyway, they have this curse called the Logan Curse on their family where something bad happens to everyone. And when you first meet Adam Driver's character, he's like talking about it. Like, Uncle So-and-so's uh-huh. lost his lottery ticket for $1 million. And, you know, Aunt whoever, like, her husband dies, like, right when he's supposed to be, like, retiring or something. And he's like, look at you. You get hurt in your last game of the season. Yeah, your knee. You never got drafted to the NFL. And then me.
I'm literally on the way to the airport.
I'm on my way to the airport. I'm on my way back from Iraq. And a landmine goes off and takes my lower arm.
And then he asks, what about Millie? And he goes,
ain't nothing bad ever happened to Millie.
Now you've done it. You spoke it into existence.
Yep. Now you gave it a mouth. You better take it back. So funny.
Oh, my gosh.
But
Adam Driver is amazing. His delivery in this
is so good.
Yes.
Yeah. He knows how to, like, pause for that awkward comedic effect, uh-huh. you know, where, like, he walks into a room and then just kind of stops. And then maybe, like, looks in a different direction. And he's just, like, he should be talking, but he's just not talking.
Or, like, the part right after that. So you get to meet Seth MacFarlane, who's just this douchebag race car driver. Mm-hmm. Comes in, makes fun of Adam Driver for being one arm.
Well, basically. He's not a race car driver. He sponsors a race car.
Oh, is that okay?
He owns an energy drink company.
Okay, I thought he was a race car driver as well.
Mm-mm. No, he's dressed up like a race car driver at the race.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. So, but he's making fun of Adam Driver, and then in return, Channing Tatum gets in a fight with him because he's like, you know, that's my brother. I take resentment to that. Mm-hmm. And then Adam Driver literally just picks up a Molotov.
A Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, and then ends up chucking in their car. And Channing Tatum, they come out and they're filming it. Channing Tatum comes out, throws the phones in the car. And then all of a sudden, Channing Tatum looks at it and goes, cauliflower, and walks away. And that's the best delivery from Adam Driver. In the middle of all the chaos, literally he just walks past these guys and just serious and says that. And it's just, and then it cuts scene and you're like, what the crap is going on? They don't explain it. No, they never explain what the whole cauliflower thing is.
Right. You have to figure it out via context, essentially. But basically it's a thing where, like, ever since they were kids,
yeah,
they could say that as a code word to one another and the other person has to do the thing they want them to do.
Well, and that's, he said that all the only context you get is last time you said cauliflower, I ended up doing time for like 8 months. He goes, you were 13
you were in years juvie.
Old. Yeah.
I was 13. we meet the opening for this movie. I like a lot because it's just Channing Tatum working on his truck
with his daughter.
And his daughter is there just kind of handing him tools. And you really get the sense for, like, their relationship where, it's kind of weird because when Katie Holmes' character gets introduced,
she's kind of a beast.
She is. And I mean, I guess they have a strained relationship or whatever, but she really paints him to be kind of like this, almost like a deadbeat dad kind of like he's missing stuff all the time, which he does. There's the one time when, like, he shows up to talk to Melly about how he's going to pick up the daughter. And she's like, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
And then he goes to apologize to the wife, and she's like, you've never used that excuse before, you know? But everything we see him doing in the movie is him being, like, a good dad to this kid.
Yeah, he's doing everything for his
little
girl.
So I don't know that, like, I don't know, that representation of him is kind of weird because the very beginning you can see that, like, him and his daughter have this really great relationship together, you know? She's like, I talked to Mom and Moody, and they said that even if they... you wouldn't take a cell phone even if they paid for it for you. And he's like, what do I need a cell phone for? I just need one for taking pictures of you. That's all. And then she's like flexing her arms to do the gun show. And she's all, and he's just taking her picture or whatever. Uh-huh. But they're talking about that song, Country Road.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It's just a nice little way to introduce those two characters. 'Cause we're going to spend the whole first half of the film with them. You know what I mean? Like, and, again, she's just really good. Like, you get the sense that she's like, I don't know. Like, if somebody told me that she like one shot all these takes, like she nailed it the first time, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
That's how believable she is in this movie. But anyway, then you see him go to work and he basically gets fired because of his leg. Somebody from HR, which I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be able to fire him for that in real life.
I don't think so.
Because, like, it's a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
And he's not, like, claiming to be hurt or filing for workman's comp. And they can't, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you're driving rigs like that, they might have, like, some safety rules.
I just almost feel like that's discrimination a little bit. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is I don't think that, like, they could fire him for having a limp if they hired him that way.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like he can, it has nothing to do, like he can do the job. He can, you know, drive the forklift or whatever. Cause he's sitting down. Yeah. It has nothing to do with it. And he even says that.
The biggest thing out of it was, is he never put it down on his application.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, you're a liability. Cause now you could claim you got hurt on the job. Mm. So what if he would have put it on the application? He wouldn't have been hired. And I think he even says that. And he was just like, you guys would have never hired me if it was on the application or something. But I still feel like, there's some discrimination laws going on.
Yeah, there's a couple of like kind of minor plot holes like that in this film, which, you know, as we come across them, as like we quickly cover the story, I guess, you know, I might point some of them out. But like just the overall flow and charm of this film, like I'm willing to forgive like any small mistake like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like who cares?
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, he gets fired from his job. And so he essentially has that run in with that guy at the bar later that day. So after he gets fired, he goes to drink at the bar where his brother works. And his brother is a transradial amputee. So he's not missing an arm. It's below his elbow. So it's his lower forearm and his hand. And I like that he's like really sensitive about that as a character. When people are like, well, because when McFarlane shows up, he's like, oh, look at this. I've just thought of a great name for a song. The Kindness of a One-Arm Bartender. He's like, I've got both arms. I see I'm a transradial amputee. He like points it out. And then he's like, can you make me this drink or whatever? And he's like, yeah, neat or on the rocks. And he's all rocks. So he makes the drink and he takes his arm off.
Takes his arm off.
Because he has a, what do you call that? He has this rubber arm, like forearm and hand that fits on. They have a word for that.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm going back to The Fugitive.
Yeah, the one-armed man.
Yeah, but I can't remember.
Or King of the Hill. It was the man with the terrible smell.
Anyway, I can't remember what it's called anyways.
Some kind of fake appendage that you can wear. Anyway, so he takes off his rubber arm and sets it on the counter, and he mixes this drink one-handed. And then when he gets done, he drinks it, and he's like, that's pretty good. Hey, would you do that again? I'm going to shoot a post. And I love Seth MacFarlane's delivery in this movie, too, because you hate his character
from
the minute you meet him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's basically, he's our villain for the movie. And he's, like, barely in the film.
Yeah.
He's a total jerk. And he's got these two, like, kind of muscle heads that are just following him around for the free ride, essentially, you know?
Yeah.
And anyway, Channing Tatum comes back out of the bathroom because he goes to the bathroom to get away from his brother talking about the Logan curse. And he comes back from the bathroom and he's like, hey, maybe he'll bounce a ball on his nose for you next. And he's like, calm down, man. I'm just having a bit of fun. And he's like, well, I take exception to people making fun of my brother. That's two tours in Iraq there. Because he stepped forward when others were stepping back. You know, he's defending his brother. And, you know, he was being a dickhead. So anyway,
he's warranted.
He's like, oh, wait, you're that guy from TV. You're famous. Yeah. You're the guy with the drink, right? And he's like, yeah, right on both counts. I am that guy on TV with the drink, and yes, I'm famous. And he's like, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah. And so he's like standing next to him to do the like a selfie, and he keeps throwing up like these fake gang signs. Like, he's the coolest guy who's ever walked into this bar, essentially.
Yeah.
And Channing Tatum just smashes his face down on the bar. At which point, his two goons jump him and start beating the crap out of Tatum. So Adam Driver hops the bar with some bottle of liquor. He goes outside and asks this guy on the porch,
"Can I borrow your light?"
Yeah, to borrow a light, which he hands to him. And so he throws a brick through the window of their car and then throws this Molotov cocktail in there to set the vehicle on fire. And he's just standing out there, just waiting, just letting his brother get the crap beat out of him until finally one of them noticed the car is on fire outside. So they run outside, and he says something like, "You gotta be stupid. That's $100,000 car."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, we was being assaulted." And he's like, "You assaulted me first." Because he's not wrong.
That's true. He's not wrong.
Like, yeah, he was being a jerk, but they did assault him first.
Yes.
And anyway, Channing Tatum comes outside because they're filming it with their phones.
"Get your phones out, record it."
Yeah. And he snatches up all three phones and just throws them into the fire. And as he's walking away,
cauliflower.
Cauliflower. So,
did you just say cauliflower to me?
Yeah. So then we jump forward to the next morning, which is one of my favorite scenes. So Adam Driver wakes up and he's like walking into the kitchen and Channing Tatum's cooking breakfast. And on the fridge, there's like a to-do list, how to rob a bank.
Yeah. top 10 things to do when robbing a bank.
Yeah. And it's like, they're not even like, it's like a to-do list, but there's also like rules, you know, like, "Hey, talk to this person and get this supply." But then also it's like, don't freak out.
No one to stop.
Don't get greedy. No one to stop. Yep. Yeah, stuff like that. And he's like, "All right, well, seeing how I saw your bank robbery to-do list on the fridge and seeing how you made breakfast and you burnt the bacon how I like and you hate, I guess I'll hear you out if you got something to say," you know, like, and I like how he's just wearing this Bob Seger t-shirt the whole time. It's just like, I don't know. There's the pair of them. Like, that's one thing also I really liked about this movie was like the costume choices.
Yes.
It's just the stuff everybody is wearing. It's just so redneck.
Oh yeah. Well, and I even love the connection between Channing Tatum and Adam Driver's brothers. Because it's like he's halfway through the spiel, and then Adam Driver brings up this like, "Well, how are you going to do this or that?" And he goes, "Well, you just shut up and let me talk to you before you come back with anything." And then he just sits there for quiet for like 30 seconds, and he's like, "Okay, then." And he goes back onto it.
Oh, man. But yeah, he's telling him all about it, and he brings out a model that he's made. And it's pretty good.
Pretty decent cardboard model.
And he's like, "You do good work." And he's like, "I do good work." And then he like opens up the like middle of the field or whatever, and it's just like a roll of toilet paper like cut in half. Like the top of it looks really good, and then like the bottom part, which is where you would need the most detail because that's where the job is going to take
underneath
place,
and everything
is just like a tube of cardboard.
Yeah,
with a hole cut in it. Oh man! But basically, they decide that he's in need of money because he finds out he wants the money originally for an attorney.
Yeah, so because, he can try to keep his daughter.
Yeah, he was dropping it. He went to go apologize for not taking the daughter to dance lessons or something. And he finds out that they're going to move across state lines.
Yeah.
And she's like, "You'll still get your days." And he's like, "I got rights. You can't just take her away from me." And she's like, "I got full custody." And just airing their dirty laundry out on the yard. And I like how Denman's character is just like, "Hey, could you move your car? I'm trying to go see a movie." The wife is just like, "Shut up, Moody."
Like, speaking of movies, it's the Fast and Furious movie. Don't take him to see that new Fast and Furious movie. Don't you think that's a little too intense for them right now? They're just kids. They're going to just look at the screen. They can't keep their eyes off of it. They'll keep them quiet for 2 hours.
I like how they're talking about that song Umbrella by Rihanna. I'm going to do Umbrella by Rihanna for my song. And then the little brother interrupts and he's like, "When Rihanna's singing about her umbrella, she's not really singing about an umbrella. She's singing about her vagina." It's code. Who told you that? Everybody.
And he's like this 4-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Who's everybody?
Oh, man. But yeah, this, I don't know. It's just such a well-written film, which also the weird thing about this movie, I guess the writer, she didn't like, what's her name? Something Blunt. We look it up real quick. She like didn't go to the set at all or meet any of the actors or anything.
It's, Jules Asner.
What?
Is the writer. Or Rebecca Blunt.
Okay. So it's the same name. That's just a writing name.
Yeah, I guess her writing name.
Okay. Yeah. Cause in the credits it says Rebecca Blunt, but I was reading about this movie and like, apparently she like didn't go to the set or meet any of the actors or the director or anything, which is pretty weird.
Oh, so her,
cause this is like the one thing she's
actress name is Jules Asner.
Okay.
That's really weird. That's her actress name, but her real name is Rebecca Blunt. That's really weird. Because it shows she's an actress in Jane, Silent Bob Strikes Back, Best Actress, and a movie called Action.
Well, that's a TV series.
Oh, and it says that she's Jewel Asner in those ones.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And this is her only writing credit.
Yep, this is her only writing credit. As Rebecca Blunt.
So, I don't know, it's weird.
That's weird. Anyways.
Anyway, I was just going to say all the dialogue between the characters is just so well written in this film.
Yeah.
Like just the way that they've transitioned from like one scene to another and how they're telling their story as time goes on, you know, and all the relationships between the characters and the way that they speak to one another.
Yeah.
You know, like Channing Tatum, the way he talks to his brother is very different from the way that he talks to his ex-wife. You know, and even more different when he's talking to
Daniel Craig and the two brothers.
Daniel Craig and the two brothers. Yeah. And then even, you know, and then he's like a totally different person later when he's talking to that lady, Sylvie.
Yes. Yeah.
In the medical van or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so he tells his brother how they're going to like rob this thing. And, you know, he's like, well, if you can get it set up, I guess I'm in. And, so they go to meet Daniel Craig because there's a vault involved, and there's only one man I know who can blow open a vault. And oh man, it's just the introduction to Daniel Craig in this film is so funny.
You guys got quarters? Yeah, I think I got a couple. You go over there, you hit P7, you bring it back here. See, they give me this fake salt. Got too high of a cholesterol. You believe that? Fake salt. He gets all pissed off about it.
Somebody thought to make fake salt. What is his character name again? Joe Bang.
Yeah, Joe Bang.
Yeah, so...
That's why they his call name me is Joe Bang.
Joe Bang. Yeah. And he's got like these like prison tats, but also like just terrible tattoos at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like ones that I imagine you would get as like a teenager, then you would regret them for the rest of your life, you know, like an impulsive type tattoos. And they're like super cartoony at the same time, some of them. And he's got bleach blonde hair. A neck tattoo, you know what I mean? Like,
and at one point in the movie, he calls them the, which I thought this was weird, because isn't this like a porn site or something like that? He calls them the Bang Bros.
Oh, I don't know.
I swear that's like a off-collar, I don't know. It caught my attention. I was like, that's really probably not the best name to be having in a movie, Bang Brothers.
I would be surprised if it's not one.
I would be really shocked. I just thought that was really funny because they said it at one point and I was like, whoa, just kind of caught me off guard.
Anyway, I love that scene. So I own this film as you do now too.
Yes.
And you'll have to tell me, the disc, does it say on the back, special features, deleted scenes?
Mm-hmm.
There are exactly two deleted scenes.
Is there really?
Yeah. I watched them both. They're both pretty short. One of them is like an alternate conversation or an extended conversation, that they have in the jail with Joe Bang.
Okay.
And the other one is just a scene where during the prison riot, there's everyone who's in the kitchen is like around like clapping and there's an inmate on the table tap dancing for like a solid 2 minutes.
Wow. That's all they cut out of that movie.
That's all that they shot and cut out of the movie.
Wow.
So that's the special features we get.
Interesting.
There's got to be more out there right, about this film. You
think so.
Like, I was commentary assuming there'd be like, something. Yeah, but I guess like, you know, the writer didn't like go to meet anybody or anything. So like, you know.
Interesting.
I would have liked to know more about like the character origins and, you know, yeah, something like yeah, I thought
something when talking I went about, yeah,
to like look for special features. I thought I'd be watching something. But yeah. There was like almost no content, which is pretty crazy.
Interesting.
But anyway, they talked to, I love the conversation with Joe Bang because he's, you know, they're telling him about the job and he's like, well, you know, when I get out of here, I'll probably lay low for a little bit. Plus I got a sweet little nest egg waiting for me. And they're like, oh, you mean like the $100,000 that's buried under the red swing at the end of your drive, at the end of your yard?
Hooked onto the oak tree.
Maybe. You look so mad that they know about it. And so they tell him, well, your brother, turns out he told his wife about it and she dug it up and ran off with some truck driver. Ran off to where? Florida.
What part of Florida?
What part of Florida? And that comes back later when he's like trying to track down Channing Tatum. And he's like, where did he go? I don't know, wherever. What part of wherever? Like, he's not willing to go after him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's probably on parole, so he probably can't leave the state, you know? But he wants to know where these people are that have wronged him, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's just so mad. So then he's like, all right, well, I'll do this, but I should probably lay low for a little while after we get out. And they're like, well, we got to do this job in 6 weeks. And then he has that famous line. I mean, have you guys not noticed? Or he's like, well, first he says, man, you Logan brothers really must be as simple as people say. And they're like, people say that? They get so offended. And he's like, in case you haven't noticed, I'm on this side of the table and you're on that side of the table. Because I am incarcerated. They're like, we're fixing to bust you out. All right. In the middle of the night. No day job. Let me get this straight. Like everything that they say, he has no faith that they are able to pull it off.
He's like, are you kidding me?
Because obviously he's heard that they're idiots. You know what I mean? So
the Logan curse. He even calls them at one point unlucky Logans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he knows about the curse too because he mentions something about it to Melly.
Yeah.
Too later at the bar, I think. Anyway, so then we set into kind of, you know, setting up of the heist, everything that goes down. But Joe Bang wants somebody to protect his interest on the other side. So he wants to get his brothers involved, which for me is funny for two reasons. One, he already knows one of those brothers is not trustworthy because already he lost his nest egg. He lost his stash.
Yes.
So, I mean, he needs somebody to look out for his interest on the outside. He does. You know what I mean? Because now he doesn't have any interest on the outside, so he wants to take care of it. But then he just picks one of the guys who ruined it for him the first time.
Yeah, I need
unless
my
there's
involved.
A fourth brother that we don't know about. I should have double checked the names. There might be, but I don't think so. I think it's Fish. I think it's the one with the long hair.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think there is.
Anyway, so then we go to like a county fair, essentially, and there's like lawnmower racing and all this different stuff and. I like how Adam Driver walks up and he's like, well, I found him. Oh, yeah, where are they? You should see. You just should come check it out because you're not going to believe what I have to tell you. And then, like, we see where they're at. And I've seen that on television before. Like,
what are
that
they
event.
Bobbing for?
It's pig's feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're bobbing for pig's feet.
That's gross.
Which I saw that on television as, like, a kid. So for me, it's like, I just assume that's something they do in the South, I guess. I don't know.
That's gross.
It is gross, I think. And then they watch him like, he says, well, they only need to know what we tell them to know. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And we watch him win this contest, which I guess they win as a tie. Maybe they're a team because they both get their hand raised
yeah,
at the end
of it. Yeah, they both
win,
yeah.
And then the next time we see, then it jumps forward and they're doing... is that ring toss or like horseshoes? But they're doing it with toilet seats and like a massive plunger. It's like a 5-foot tall plunger.
Uh-huh.
and they're throwing these toilet seats. And so they talk to him. And they're like, hey, you know, we got this job we're thinking of pulling. And they're like, well, we need to have a moral reason to pull off this job. We
found Jesus.
Yeah. We found Jesus. We want to make sure we're on the light side of the raw.
And he says raw instead of law.
And so they need a morality clause, uh-huh, essentially. So Adam Driver goes into this spiel where he's like, well, oh man, what's the name of the store?
It's like a, yeah, grocery store or something like that. Yeah,
the Grocery Castle Auto.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So over at the Grocery Castle, our sister Millie got promoted to cashier inside of a month. And then the manager got all handsy, you know, and they're just like, that's enough for them to do it. I like it takes them a split second, uh-huh, to deliberate. They're like, so what do you guys think? And he turns, so what you think? Yeah. Okay, we're in.
Well, and I love how it comes back to bite them later on when they
have to
pull the heist up forward a week. And he was like, you know, I just don't even know why we're doing this anymore. You had us all. We had to have a motive and a reason. Mm-hmm. And then now, what did the NASCAR ever do to you? Yeah. NASCAR's America.
Yeah. We had our morality clause, and then you moved up the heist. And now we're not even robbing the grocery castle anymore. We're just writing NASCAR. NASCAR never hurt anybody. It's like we're robbing America. Oh, man.
Oh.
So anyway, then there goes through, after we meet those brothers, it goes through this massive setup. They're getting, you know, they're learning which safe they need to blow and how the money gets moved from point A to point B or everything. And probably one of the funniest moments in the whole movie is when they're in the tunnels and they get down there and they've gotten Joe Bang out of prison. And they're down there, and he's like, so which thing is it that we need to blow open? Right here, this wall. And they, like, point to whichever tunnel. Which, that is one of the things that was a kind of a plot hole, because they send the roaches through the tubes so yeah, they would know which tube.
Yeah.
But then when they get there, Channing Tatum and Adam Driver are under the impression that he's going to blow open the wall.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when he doesn't have the dynamite, they're like,
that's right.
You know, they're like, well, I assumed you'd have dynamite or something to blow open the wall. And he's like, we don't need to blow open the wall. This here is our transportation right here. We're just going to get all the money from there.
That's true.
But they set up the heist. I don't
remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
So kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, Joe Bang makes an explosive out of gummy bears. What is it?
Bleach pens
and fake salt.
Yep.
That he's always carrying around with him. And he's like, puts it all into this bag. And he's like, now how far away is the vault? I don't know, like 6 or 7 yards.
No, it's 20 yards. Maybe 30.
Yeah. Well, is it 20 or is it 30? What we're dealing with here is science. Well, I'm sorry. Once I saw our bomb was made out of gummy bears, I didn't think science had much to do with it. And so then he's like, well, and then it like,
well, and he's telling him, and he's for like, calling him a bomb too. He's
yeah,
like, don't it's call not a bomb. A bomb.
It's a Joe Bang. And he's like, what we have here is a free exchange of ions. That's what we've created, positive and negative.
And then it cuts off and it has him writing this chalk on the wall.
Yeah, it jumps forward and he's giving him a chemistry lesson. Yeah. Yeah. He's like showing him why it's going to work. And he's like writing it all down on the chalk wall. And the hilarious thing about it is that knowing by the end of it, like how much of this was planned by Channing Tatum's character or whatever, you know, he's just cool to chill there and let him give them this yep, lesson, he's you
like,
know?
Okay.
And it's like, aren't you guys like under kind of a time crunch, you know, but their curiosity gets the better of them,
yeah,
which I think is funny. So they blow open they create this bomb and they put it in the tube. And it goes through, like, into the vault, but it gets hung up, and it sends it back. And it comes flying out of the tube, and Adam Driver catches it. Like, in the weirdest way, it's like his fake hand and his other hand caught it, but, like, pressed up against it with his fingers. Not, like, actually, like, you think, like, cut it with your hands like you would a football.
You think you'd palm it.
But it's like, he's not palming it. It's like he's using his two hands as, like, pincers to hold it. and that's how he catches it.
Well, I love how Joe Bang is like, don't move. I'm not. Don't breathe. I'm not.
So he opens it and he's just like, oh, I twisted the bag too many times.
Untwists it a little bit, shoves it back in.
He goes over there and just explodes and blows the end off of that pipe. That
thing opens up, just boosh.
Yeah. So the only, yeah, we never see, they must, whoever it was, the tube that they end up using, because a lot of those go into that room.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of them must go other places, but that's another thing I noticed too, is like all of, if they use all of those tubes from that room, they're all kind of going into the same wall with the exception of like one or two of them.
Yeah.
And wouldn't all of NASCAR's money all go to the same bank?
I would assume so. That would all lead into that one drop.
Yeah. So
and that's where
all of those cockroaches would have ended up. All the different colors would have ended up in one place.
That's what I would assume. Unless it's just technically really only that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, the fire coming up would make them stop sending money. And then they could get all the money that's already in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But, yeah, I just, watching that, I thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because they blow the end of it off, and then they can, like, I could see why they would only want to blow one tube, because they want to be able to hook that giant vacuum up to it and suck all the money out of that
vault.
But the other ones would still be dropping cash.
Oh, you know that's what I mean? True, yeah.
So, but the tube that they're using would have cash coming that one direction also.
Yeah.
But that container would just, like, hit the wall, essentially. Because they've disassembled the tube to hook up the hose.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm just, you know, doing my thing, thinking too hard about this movie, which is super fun. Anyway, they're messing around with the vacuum after they blow the tube up off. They hook a vacuum, like this giant industrial vacuum, up to it so they can suck the money back up through one of these tubes.
Yeah.
From the dump in the vault. And so they're doing that, and somebody puts it on reverse or something, and then it ends up like sucking Adam Driver's hand off into the vacuum.
Daniel Craig's character does.
Yeah.
He actually puts it, or no. I think somebody one of the brothers do. Daniel Craig holding that right there. Yeah, it just goes, and all of a sudden you just see Daniel Craig just go, uh-oh. Just a shocked look on his face.
And so Adam Driver is now upset because his hand is inside this thing, you know.
He's going to get caught.
And he's going to get caught, you know.
Yeah, because they can trace it back to him.
We got to jump back to how he gets into jail, so how they bust out Daniel Craig. So how they break Daniel Craig out is they have Adam Driver go to jail, and what he does is he just drives a car through the front of a convenience store, and then he gets out to buy chips, which I thought was the funniest thing. Like,
puts a bag of chips right on the counter.
It makes it seem like he really doesn't know where he is. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I don't know. Anyway, they give him 90 days in jail because, you know, he's a war hero, essentially, lost his arm or whatever, and it's been since he was a teenager, since he's been in trouble or whatnot, but so they go easy on him. But he gets into jail, and he has the plan and the schematics for the things they have to build so they can hide under this truck to get out of the prison or whatever.
Yeah.
And they organize staging a riot in the prison as a distraction, essentially. Which that whole thing is hilarious. I don't want to dive too much into it because people got to watch it. But
yeah,
the interaction between the warden of the prison and the inmates that have taken control of the cafeteria. We don't
call anything in.
Yeah, we don't have a riot problem.
That's right. Sir, there's a fire in there. We don't call.
We don't have a fire
problem.
Oh, man. Because we don't have a food problem here. Oh, man. And you really do kind of, you quickly grow to dislike the warden also.
Oh, yeah.
The funniest joke from that is the Game of Thrones thing.
No, I'm saying, it says right here he was supposed to have it delivered out, but he never got
the His winter. Touring schedule was too crazy, so he didn't get the Winds of Winters, Winds of Winter or whatever dragons.
Finished, yeah. Spring of Dragons
that or whatever. That is total BS. Those two guys that transferred here last month already knew about all the new stuff with the hot chick and her dragons.
I believe they got that from the TV show.
Yeah, you must have got that info from the TV show. I'm reading to you right from the Wikipedia page. and he just walks away with his hands up. Uh-huh. He's not hearing it. Oh, man. But anyway, so they're down there. And they're fighting over whether they're going to get his arm out or not. And Channing Tatum promises he'll get the arm out of there and sends them on their way to go get back to the prison because they have to get back before they're discovered missing. And anyway, they're leaving and they run into what's his bucket again? Oh, man, I'm just doing terrible with names today. Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, yeah, going through the thing.
Yeah, he has this energy drink company and he's sponsoring a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
And the NASCAR driver and him do not get along.
Well, and the NASCAR driver even, he was just like, I'm at my perfect zen.
Yeah.
I'm at the perfect, you know, and he's like, no, you need to drink this drink for the audience. Mm-hmm. He's like, if I do, it could throw everything off. And then right in the middle of
my
the race.
My body is an operating system. Yeah.
I love how right in the middle of the race, too, he goes, my OS is shutting down.
Yeah, my OS is crashing. And then he falls asleep at the wheel and just crashes.
Crashes into the side of the wall, spins out.
So funny. Anyway, so they're arguing in the tunnel after because he wrecked the car or whatever. And they're going to finish the race. And he sees Adam Driver standing there. And he's like, you're that guy from that bar. And you just... He does that thing again where he like takes a step forward and he stops and then he steps forward again. Uh-huh. And it turns out he walks up and just punches him in the face.
Breaks his nose.
Yeah. Oh, man. So they get back to the jail disguised as firemen.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. And anyway, they make off with all the money and he gets to his daughter's beauty pageant in time. So that everybody sees him there and tags him on social media and stuff so that he has a cover.
Yeah.
So everybody has a cover for being involved in this except for the two brothers, but nobody knows they're involved.
Yeah.
And nobody knows Melly's involved or anything. So the only people known aside from that are Adam Driver, Daniel Craig, and Channing Tatum, and they all have an alibi.
Well, and I love
how...
Two of
them are in jail, and the other one is at the daughter's thing.
Yeah. Well, and I love how Melly, she ends up taking the ex-wife's boyfriend's car, the new Ford Mustang. He was just like, you're going a little... what was it? Adam Driver's character. He's like, you're going a little fast. You know, we don't want to get pulled over or anything. She goes, it's all right. We got it taken care of. And then it shows Channing Tatum calling it. I swear it's what I saw. Old lady, purple car.
She was doing like 100 miles an hour or something. So the cops got her pulled over.
Yeah, they got her pulled over. I'm just on my way to church. Get out of the vehicle, ma'am. Step out of the vehicle now.
I'm not going to tell you again. And then they go flying by in that blue Mustang. He's like, did you just see that? See what? It doesn't matter. Get over here. This lady needs detaining. Like, they're just so preoccupied by this lady who's giving them all this attitude.
I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. This lady needs detaining. She comes walking out. It's just this old lady with purple hair that she's dyed her wig purple for some reason.
Well, that's her hair. She was at the beauty parlor earlier, remember? Because she was having Melly dye her hair for her.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
She was talking about how the football team wore purple uniforms.
That's right.
They were the most striking shade of purple.
That's right.
Yeah. And also, so you know the guy in when they send the NASCAR police to go find the smoke.
Yeah.
They're walking around and there's a guy taking a smoke break down there.
Yeah.
That is Earl. So he is the guy at the very beginning of the movie who hands Adam Driver the lighter when he breaks the window and lights the car on fire.
Oh, okay.
And when they take the daughter, instead of going to a spray tan salon, they go to the garage and he uses the pressure washer to fills it up with spray tan and sprayer.
Yeah.
That's his garage.
Oh,
he's there too.
Okay.
So he's in on it also, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know what this guy is. He's just like a jack of all trades. So he's hanging out at the bar, which is fine. But then he has the garage that he works at because when Channing Tatum gets the shot for the tetanus shot from Sylvie and their alternator sounds bad on the vehicle, he's like, go to this garage over there. Ask for Earl.
Yeah.
It's his shop. It won't be cheap free, but he'll treat you right or whatever.
Yeah.
So he works there. Why is he down in the bottom of NASCAR.
Helping out.
Like, he's also works for NASCAR?
No, I think he was a ploy.
But that's the thing, is how is he down there?
Because they were looking for smoke.
Right. But so why is he there?
Channing Tatum got him in there.
But it doesn't show him come in with everybody else. No. So I think he's there. Like, he's an actual employee there.
Oh, maybe.
Because he's like, they're saying like, hey, get back to work. And he's like, I got 3 minutes left on my 20.
Unless they don't know.
They call him a 20 for a reason.
Unless they're just assuming that he works there. Because it shows later on that he's smoking that cigarette and purposely blowing it through the grates of that door.
Yeah.
So smoke's coming out.
The funny thing is like he's blown it through the grates of that door, which is nowhere near where those ends of those tubes are at.
That's what I thought.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like coincidence almost.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of stuff in this movie that's like that. Like, who knew?
Unless it's just to throw the guards off the trail or something.
Well, who knew the guards would even walk over there?
That's true.
That underground parking area, like for all the NASCAR teams, is massive. Like, they're driving a cart around down there to get around.
You got to have your bases covered.
I'm just saying. Like, there's got to be hundreds of, maybe not hundreds, but tons of other rooms down there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he could have been anywhere. And he even says, like, it's, you know, quarter of a mile walk to get outside to take my smoke break. And they're like, you're not supposed to be smoking in here. And he's like, oh, dang, I should have noticed by the absence of this ashtray that I'm using. You know, like, just giving him two. So, like, he's down there.
Yeah.
Working there, I think. Because he's not, like, hiding in the tunnels like they are. Like, they're, like, far removed in the construction area where nobody's working because the races are going on. But he's in an employee area. Like, he's just chilling. Like, anybody could have found him.
It's true. He could be an employee there.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then also, I was going to go back and look. Does Hillary Swank's character... It is her, right?
Yeah.
Does she have a fake arm, too?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention to that. Maybe.
She might have a fake arm also.
Maybe. I don't know.
But anyway.
I do know it was Earl also who picked up the money.
Yeah.
In the garbage can or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the garbage truck.
Yeah.
And he helps him find it at the dump.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So he's definitely a part of the heist. And he's like an unknown, like, he blends so much into the background.
Yeah. No, yeah, you can't figure him out.
But, yeah, just, there's a couple of things like that where it's like, how would you, one, you've organized a heist that you don't know how it's going down, you know, where they're like arguing over how they're going to blow open the vault or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just, I don't know, those weird kind of circumstances where it's like, they've staged Earl down there for who? Maybe a security guard to maybe walk by? Because they're walking around in there for a long time before they run into Earl. Because they come across Channing Tatum first and the brothers on the cart.
That's true, yeah.
Because they were like, do you guys smell smoke down here? And they're like, we can't smell. You both can't smell? Yeah. We both got dropped on our heads and lost our sense of smell. Like, the most unbelievable excuse. They're like,
all right, get out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. So they're down there for a while. Like, they've come across three people that are part of this heist before they've come across Earl.
That's true. Yeah.
And then, man, there was one other one that I was thinking of at the time. But I can't remember it now. Probably not that important. Anyway, Channing Tatum seems to have like a kind of a second thoughts about stealing all this money from NASCAR, because they were originally going to rob a much smaller race.
Yeah.
And they had to move it up because they were stopping the construction. They were going to patch up all the holes and put the walls back up under the field. So they had to move the heist up to steal and everything. But anyway, they hide the money and they wait X amount of time, which I felt like was pretty ingenious how they set that up at the beginning of the movie with the cell phone. Because that's how he knows that they're not being monitored anymore.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they
shut his phone off.
That's right.
But at the very beginning of the movie, he's not paying for the phone.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So he already stopped paying for it, and then it was working. See,
that's I know when he explained that, it just kind of made no sense. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah. So I think they probably could have explained that a little better, like whether it was already dead or not.
Yeah.
Because apparently it just was working for months after they did the heist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they must have turned his phone on. Because the daughter was going to have the mom and Moody pay for it. Or maybe he was going to turn it off and they knew about it.
And you just didn't. Yeah.
And it just, it was still on at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But.
See, I don't think about this stuff.
Yeah.
That's so why you're here.
It was just the roaches. Yeah. The roaches seem unnecessary because they never go to the bank. You know what I mean? They never go to that vault.
Yeah, they never set foot inside the vault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes sense. I guess
could explain
that. That makes sense because they end up not blowing open the wall.
They don't know what Joe Bang's going to do. They're assuming.
You'd think that they would have had that worked out. Because Joe Bang, I mean, he had to ask how far away the vault was. So obviously he didn't know what all he was blowing through. He just knows that he couldn't bring traditional explosives.
Yeah.
That's all he knew.
Yeah.
So he didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. They just seemed to put this together with, like, a lot of missing details or, like, stuff that wasn't hammered out correctly.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. Probably hoping in the twists and turns that you might not catch on, or if you do, you just kind of don't care.
Yeah. So then Hillary Swank's character shows up. She works for the FBI, and she's there to, like, find out who robbed NASCAR, essentially.
Which I don't like her in this movie.
Oh, she's very unlikable.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah. I don't like her deep voice in this. I think it was kind of weird.
She's very robotic.
Yes.
Also. Yeah. Yeah. But I, you know, I'm in general not a very big Hillary Swank fan, but I do like her performance in this movie.
Yeah.
As the unlikable character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, in general, I don't care about her films at all, you know, or her in a film. But in this movie, I think she does a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, she's great. Which, I mean, I guess that's why she gets paid millions of dollars to be an actress, right?
But sure, why we don't.
Yep. I am unbelievable. Oh, man.
I'm too monotone.
You could play Hillary Swank's character.
Ooh, there we movie. Go. I could do that.
So she's talking to the guy from NASCAR, who's obviously just stealing money from the insurance company. Because they're like, we at NASCAR consider the matter handled. Well, if you don't know how much money was taken, how do you know how much to ask the insurance company for? We feel as though this matter has been handled.
We're not going to go after this anymore.
So she's talking to Seth MacFarlane's character, and he's like, ask my driver, Dayton White. He'll corroborate my story. We were down there into tunnels, and the one-armed bartender was there, and the guy who's with Hillary Swank is like the one-armed man, like him and his brother. How many arms does his brother have? He's got both. Like, you just don't believe this guy at all. But the reason for that is because they already talked to the driver, Dayton White, and he didn't back up the story. He's like, I was never in the tunnels with him.
Yeah.
I never saw a one-armed man, which is a lie. He hates Seth MacFarlane just like everyone else does in this movie. So he's not going to help him out, even though his nose got broke. Oh, man. So anyway, the FBI kills the investigation. They give up on it. And then at the end of the movie, we see Adam Driver has a new arm.
Robotic arm.
Channing Tatum did get that one out of the thing. He got it.
Yes, yeah.
So he didn't leave it in there. He did a good job cleaning up. But anyway, he buys him a new robotic prosthetic. It's a prosthetic arm. That's the word I was looking for.
Well, it took us all episode.
I know. So he got this new robotic prosthetic arm, and Joe Bang shows up, and he's mad that, you know, he gave all the money back, and he wants to know why.
Yeah.
And Adam Driver's basically gives him a free drink and is like, hey, man, he didn't tell me anything, and I haven't talked to him since, you know? And he's just keeping his distance because the FBI is still investigating them.
Yeah.
Which we don't. We know the FBI is doing an investigation, but we don't know, like, the extent of it. That's kind of something we learn later.
Yeah.
And then after, it shows Joe Bang is at his house, just upset that he doesn't have money. And somebody doorbell ditches him, and there's, like, a red shovel at the end of his porch.
Yeah.
And it's funny that he picks it up and then, like, throws it down And then he takes two steps away from it and is like,
dawns on him like, whoa,
wait a minute. So he runs over and like digs up the swing and finds a bag of cash. Yeah. So he finds all the money that they were supposed to give him. They've restored his nest egg, essentially. Yeah. And then the final scene, they're all at the bar. And Sylvie shows up, and she's dating Channing Tatum now. And Adam and Daniel Craig is
hanging out with Millie, and Millie seems dating.
To have hit it off.
Yeah.
Which their interaction in the car earlier when she brings him the change of clothes is pretty funny.
I'm about to get naked back here.
So no peeking.
You see her kind of just do a little glance.
I said no peeking. Yeah. And he's like looking in the mirror, that laugh.
Sly just smile on his face like he wants her to peek, but he's giving her hard time. You know,
Melly rhymes with smelly. That's how he's picking up on this girl. It's terrible.
Melly lands with smelly.
Anyway, this lady is sitting at the bar behind him. Turns out it's Hilary Swank. And Adam Driver turns around and notices her sitting there with an empty drink. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't notice you sitting there. And she's like, yeah, I missed the toast. And he's like, yeah, sorry about that. And she's like, it's bad luck to toast alone. So why don't you pour one for me? Like she's hitting on Adam Driver, essentially.
Yeah.
And he smiles and pours himself a drink or whatever. And the movie just kind of ends at that point with him and her toasting that she wants to stay longer in town.
Kind of leaves it open like maybe she's going in on it or that she knows.
I definitely don't think she's in on it. I think that she's not in on it. Oh, okay. I think she definitely knows it was them.
Yeah.
And she's not giving up on the investigation. I think that's the terrible Logan Lucky curse.
I was going to say it's that Logan Lucky curse. Yeah.
And I, for one, Steven Soderbergh, would love to see a sequel to this movie where they have been caught and are now in jail. And have to like bust out and do another
break
heist.
Out or do something.
I would love to see that film.
That would be hilarious.
I want to see a Logan Lucky 2 so bad.
Makes you wonder. I highly doubt it, but.
Well, so Steven Soderbergh, I don't know if he's, you know, made any. You know what? Let me pull up his filmography real quick. Maybe he has like upcoming projects listed. Okay, here we go. Dad Strangelove, The Oscars, and Untitled something. With a bunch of words that I can't pronounce. So nothing right now. I'm just going to Google it separately and see. Here we go. Logan Lucky sequel. Let's see what comes up. So this is at Wattpad.com. Hope Solo at Wattpad.com. Oh, what the heck? It says Logan Lucky 2, but it's got like a weird... I think this is like a fan thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sequel to, like, it's like a Star Wars thumbnail where the Rey face has been switched out with, I'm assuming, Selena Solo, Hope Solo, whoever the person is who wrote this.
Yeah.
And then it's just like the sequel to the movie. And there's like a bunch of Star Wars tags under it. It's not legit. Will there be a Logan Lucky 2 as of 2018? Here's what Channing Tatum has told us. Not in the works, not that I know of, he says. Yeah, nothing in the works that he knows of.
Which is unfortunate.
Says he's done a lot of movies with Steven Soderbergh and nothing is ever off the table. But yeah, not in the works, not that I know of. Generally, he hates repeating himself. I would be shocked if he wanted to reload on that movie, but we had a lot of fun doing it. Well, I think they should make another one. Because I think it's
I think they should. I think they could have fun with the second one.
Lots of great characters.
Yes.
Lots of fun.
I think they could have a blast with the second one. I'm trying to think that from what I've seen, there's not a lot of trivia on this. Did we go over numbers?
No, we didn't.
So, not hugely well known, but I mean, 29 million only brought in 48. So
that's a worldwide gross.
Yep. But I'm also curious to see what it made after it came out, because, like I said, it's an Amazon movie. So we had talked about it. It went straight to Amazon as soon as it was done in theaters. So Amazon, or yeah, went to Amazon and Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, I think this movie is
excellent,
and I would recommend it to anybody.
Yes.
Not everybody might like it, but I think it's awesome.
If you like the ocean movies,
yeah,
you'll like this. I feel like this is more of a redneck oceans.
Well, they even say that in the movie.
Yeah.
The news broadcast makes fun of it, and they're like, this is like a backwoods robbery. It's like Ocean's 7-Eleven.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a good one. Like I said, not a lot of trivia. Other than, I guess, Katherine Heigl was going to actually play, God, what's her name's? The ex-wife.
Oh, Bobby Jill?
Yeah. But she got pregnant and had to give up the part.
A lot of, like, oh, I clicked on goofs. I was like, this stuff is not, this is not interesting. So this was the first movie directed by Steven Soderbergh since announcing his retirement.
I saw that.
So I guess that didn't hold up. Oh, Riley Cuff, who plays Melly, is Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
Really?
Her mother is Lisa Marie Presley.
Okay.
Michael Shannon and Matt Damon were originally part of the cast, but both dropped out.
Whoa!
That's crazy.
Who's Michael Shannon?
He's in a ton of stuff. I'm assuming you've seen Knives Out fairly recently. He's the brother with the cane. I wonder who they would have played. I wonder if they would have been like the other brothers.
Oh, yeah. Superman dude.
Yeah, he was Zod.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. I didn't know the Ocean's movies were directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Trivia. Daniel Craig had to bleach his hair for the role of Joe Bane. Duh.
It's not trivia. Yeah, I saw that.
Did you know
he
had to bleach his hair for that role where his hair was bleached? Yeah, there's just a bunch of stuff. It's talking about reused plot devices from some of other Soderbergh's other films, but none of it's that interesting. Anyway, would you recommend this movie?
I definitely would. Yes.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll say Thomas would recommend this movie also. So it definitely gets...
He better recommend
it. Excellent button push, because I already pushed it.
Yes.
And...
It's good.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. Watch this movie. Watch it's
got
basically...
Some good humor in it.
Yeah. I mean, twist, just in general, turns. If you're seeing something, you know, build with Adam Driver and Daniel Craig in the same movie, what are you doing sleeping on
and
that?
And Channing Tatum?
Yeah. You should just watch that movie.
Yeah.
So good.
Like I said, Adam Driver alone will make me go watch it, but throw those two in there and it's a must-see.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, you can write us an email. Tell us what you thought.
Yep. Excellent movie adventures at Gmail.
Yep. excellentmovieadventures@gmail.com. I'll say it without stumbling over.
There you go.
You can, you know, hit us up on Instagram at Excellent Movie Adventures, yep, or Twitter at Excellent Movie Pod.
Excellent Movie Pod.
Yep. Or on, I guess, Facebook.
Yes.
We don't check it, but you can hit us up there.
I'll get notifications.
We'll know that you hit us up.
Yes.
So I guess if you hit us up there, you would log in and respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can hit us up on Facebook.
If you asked any questions, I would make sure to respond.
Yeah, it doesn't get updated, but we'll respond to stuff. Anyway, hit us up at those places. You can follow me at Picks Adventures, P-I-K-S Adventures, on Twitter and Instagram, and Mr. Zachary.
At Z Van Beekum.
Are you on both of those things, too?
I'm on all three.
Oh, nice.
So then you got Mr. Tomas with nothing.
Yeah, but he runs the Instagram for us.
So say hi there. If you want to talk to Tom, just go on to our Instagram.
Yep. Anyway, send us a request or write us a review.
Please.
Yeah.
Please, please.
Let us know what you think. We'd be very interested to find out.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you guys all next time.
Ciao.
See ya.
Excellent.